Now, the local record. A look at issues facing the Aberdeen area.
Hi, this is your host, Jenny Goodell, and our guest today on the program is Mike Thielen, past secretary and current webmaster for the Dakota Territory Muzzleloaders, a group made up of Aberdeen and Redfield outdoorsmen and women and history enthusiasts. Today, Mike will be talking with us about the need for local sportsmen and women to enjoy fellowship through meeting together at a range located between Aberdeen and Redfield, ways that their group provides preservation of history when it comes to the sports of hunting, camping, and reenacting, and how you can be involved with the work of the Dakota Territory Muzzleloaders. Welcome to the local record, Mike.
Thanks for having me on air, Jenny.
First off, I really should know this, but what does it mean to be a muzzleloader?
Muzzleloading is really pre-1840 historical reenactment, as when the fur trade era of North America really kind of started dying down and the glory days kind of ended. So muzzleloading or muzzleloader is a rifle or a pistol, even a smoothbore gun that is actually loaded from the end of the barrel. So you dump powder down the barrel, and then you put a patch and then a ball and ram it down with a ramrod to the end of the barrel.
So what does muzzleloading involve today?
A lot of it has changed. You've got the modern inline muzzleloader now, which for historical reenactors is kind of a dirty word. But the traditional muzzleloader is still replicated today. Off-the-shelf models, you can go to a lot of your local gun shops. Even, you know, Cabela's Outdoors has their own brand of muzzleloader. Traditional muzzleloader with the traditional loading, iron sights, no scopes, and people can just come and shoot and play with a muzzleloader or do the full historical reenactment like we do, where you get dressed up and look funny and act funny. And
so are there a lot of muzzleloading groups throughout the United States?
Our neighbors in Nebraska and Kansas, they'll have 30, 40 pubs in those two states. South Dakota's not quite as popular, and with the creation of the modern inline muzzleloader, a lot of traditional enthusiasts that used it just for hunting went to the modern inline and do just muzzleloader hunting. There's a majority of states that still have a muzzleloading deer license, South Dakota, of course, being one of them.
Cool. Now that brings us to the topic of our own local muzzleloaders group. Mike, you've been pretty involved with the Dakota Territory Muzzleloaders for most of your life. Just what's your group all about?
The club started in 1979, and it was just a bunch of guys that liked hunting and fishing and camping and doing stuff outdoors, and they kind of had muzzleloaders that they shot for deer and for other things, and they got together and said, you know, this would be kind of fun to do, and so they started in on it and started the club in Aberdeen. About the same year, the Fort Sisseton Historical Festival at an old 1860s-era fort up in northeast South Dakota started putting on a festival that they wanted historical reenactors to attend. Just kind of grew from there.
So what's your history with the Dakota Territory Muzzleloaders group?
Well, my father was one of the founders, John Thielen and Don Bachman, Dave Blondo, and Gary Hewer, the four guys that started the club. I basically grew up in this club and grew up doing living history and reenactment. They're back from when I was 4 or 5 years old and got older and stayed and became a member of the club as an individual and then as a family when I got married. And as I moved around the state, I just kept my membership active. And then when I moved back to Aberdeen, I got more involved in the club, became an officer, and decided the club needed a website, which is something that I like to do, and keeps growing from there. They can go to our website, get information on the local club, what it takes to join, where you can participate, how you can participate, and then also how you can participate on a regional or national level, what you need to do. And there are almost 700 links to other sources out there in the World Wide Web on how to dress right, act right, and buy right, and eat right. And you can get pretty in-depth if you'd like.
And what is your website address, Mike?
DakotaTerritoryMuzzleloaders.com, and Dakota is spelled the old traditional way, D-A-C-O-T-A-H.
So where do members of your group hail from?
Surprisingly, South Dakota only has 3 muzzleloader clubs. 2 are East River and 1 is West River. So we have club members that are as far away as Timber Lake, 2.5 hours west of Aberdeen, members that are from Jamestown, North Dakota, which is an hour north, members about an hour east and an hour south.
And you do have lots of club members from Redfield and Aberdeen as well, right?
That's our base. That's our hometown area. The range is located just about halfway between Redfield and Aberdeen, and so that's our core membership.
Just how did the muzzleloaders begin?
I've asked my dad a few times to kind of explain it because I've always wanted to kind of keep the history of the club. And he said, you know, it was just that he and 3 other guys that he knew, they all were sitting around talking, and boy, this would be fun to do. You know, we've got muzzleloaders, it'd be fun to have this club, and it'd be fun to do this thing up at the fort they're talking about. And next thing you know, they've got a group together, and here we are today.
So what do the muzzleloaders do when they get together?
Our club is pretty active, and we actually try to do a number of things throughout the year to keep people interested and entertained. Of course, during the summer, that's our big rendezvous season. That's where most of us are out doing the living history, doing the actual camping and dressing up for 1840-style clothing, spending 3 to 5 days, even 8 days out at a site, camped in a canvas tent. But outside of those, the club actually holds monthly meetings. We meet the first Monday of every month, and we meet at the Millstone Restaurant in Aberdeen. We also have our monthly club shoot, which is at the club range, about 15 miles south of Aberdeen. For people familiar with the area, we're about a mile north and a mile west of the Brown County-Spink County line off of U.S. Highway 281. And we do monthly shoots there starting about 1 o'clock all year long. We've got a cabin. A lot of us will show up there 8 or 9 in the morning and have breakfast and then stick around, shoot for 1 o'clock. We'll do 2 or 3 shoots, maybe 4 shoots, and by 4 o'clock maybe we're drifting away, getting ready to go home. You know, really a good chance for everybody to sit around and joke, and we'll play cribbage and have a good time. And we kind of have a potluck lunch usually every shoot weekend. And, of course, during the summer months, once the weather gets nice, if we don't have a rendezvous, a lot of us will go Saturday and camp Saturday night at the range before the meeting, sit out and enjoy the stars and enjoy camping and have a good time. And,
right.
Outside of the club shoots and the club meetings and the rendezvous, we do what we call a cabin fever party, which is, hey, middle of winter, we're all stuck indoors. We can't get a canvas tent out and camp. This really isn't fun. So we go and have our Christmas party, basically, but it's usually around the first part of February. And it's a potluck, and we'll have drawings and prizes and, you know, all sorts of things and entertain for about 3 hours or so and just have a good time getting together in the middle of winter and trying to push the winter doldrums away for a while. During the spring, we try to get a canoe trip or two in if we can. We'll go canoeing on a local river or something, you know, and just try to get where we can and enjoy time on the water. And most of us like to canoe and like to fish as well as the reenactment, so.
Great. Now, you've already kind of alluded to that a rendezvous is a pre-1840 fur trade era gathering. Can you describe what a rendezvous looks like?
If you actually watch Dances with Wolves, when you see him coming over the ridge and here's a bunch of teepees set up, you picture a modern rendezvous, you can almost see that. You come in and a lot of times, like one of my favorite spots, you come around a curve and you're in down a ravine along a little small spring-fed creek. You come around that curve and here's a camp that just opens up in this draw. 60, 70 camps there, all different types. You got teepees, you got square tents, you got rectangular marquee tents, little one-pole tents, just all white canvas. And it does just kind of jump out at you, and everybody's dressed up in clothing that would have been correct for anything before 1840s. And everything is canvas pants or buckskin leather pants. Shirts are generally calico shirts or linen shirts, the old kind of ruffled, big, roomy shirt style. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys do, like, Southwest theme, which is the big, wide-brimmed hats and the spurs. And then there's the group that are the really hardcore Rocky Mountain buckskinners, you know, leather pants, leather shirt, maybe a beaver hat or a felt hat. Oh. Truly just, if you kind of watch Jeremiah Johnson, those older movies that portray it, some of them portray it pretty accurately. Some of them have a lot of Hollywood liberty with the
right.
period.
Right. And I understand that your group has participated in various historical events.
Well, we have done a lot of local centennials and now this quasquicentennial, the 125th celebrations. Trying to get to the local ones there and get a chance to walk the parades and shoot the guns and watch people cringe at the noise and the black powder or the smoke, you know. And so we've been doing those. I've done those since the early 80s when the Centennial Run really kind of first came around in South Dakota. We also do the local rendezvous. We have two of our own, Sweetwater in the fall and Drifting Goose in the spring. We've done Fort Siston Historical Festival almost since its creation. In fact, I think we've been there since year one, represented at one form or another. Done a lot of regional rendezvous, you know, anything within the 5 states or 4 states, even, you know, within probably 200-300 miles. Somebody from the club has probably been at a rendezvous there. Then we do the larger regional ones. I'm actually involved in the High Plains Regional Rendezvous Organization, which is the 5 states here in the High Plains. And then there are what we call national events, sponsored most often by the NMLRA, which is the National Muzzleloading Rifle Association. Those national events are a little more persnickety. They're a little more careful. They want to be more period correct. We've had people representing our club at national levels, the Westerns, the Easterns. You can make a circuit around the United States, Southeastern, Southwestern, then come up to the Northwest and then up to the Northeast. You can make a big loop if you'd like.
Well, it's so exciting to hear about the different rendezvous that your club is part of, the Drifting Goose and the Sweetwater rendezvous. But as you said, the muzzleloaders get together for regular meetings. Can you tell us a little more about what you do at the meetings?
you know, the meetings just kind of vary from month to month, depending on what we've got going. There are stretches where the meeting is a half-hour meeting of, hey, let's all get together and what's going on and are we having a good time?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the meetings are very, you know, we've got things going on. Two rendezvous and a cabin fever party that take a little planning, so you got to plan ahead. We've got other events. People are contacting us and saying, we'd like you to come to this celebration or that, you know, centennial or 125th or there's this new rendezvous, a new place we want to go to. Can you help us start it up? And we get involved in a lot of that. So our meetings are really centered on, gee, you know, how are we going to do this? How do we want to do that? Who's available? What resources?
Right.
So it
right.
takes a lot of planning and coordination. You know, we go to a 125th celebration. Often we will shoot a candy cannon off for the kids and we will do fry bread for the public and let people shoot the guns and shoot our bows, maybe throw the tomahawk and knife. It's amazing. There's a lot of activities and keeps the club really busy.
Those meetings are held the first Mondays of every month?
Yes, the first Monday of every month at the Millstone Restaurant in Aberdeen. We try to meet at about 7:30 at night. This club's pretty social, which means a lot of times it's 8 before we start.
Okay. So who runs the meetings? Do you have club officers?
Yeah, we have club officers. They're elected on a 2-year term. Our club president is Joe Sarda. He is from Fernie, South Dakota. His term ends in about 3 months, so we'll be electing a new club president. Our vice president is John Grays. He's from Aberdeen. John's been a member for probably 15 years now, been around for a while and pretty involved. I was the secretary until they're going to replace me here in this next couple of months. And regretfully, our treasurer of 30 years passed away, and so we'll be replacing him too.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Mike, who exactly attends your meetings? You usually have a pretty good crowd?
Yeah, we have about 8 to 15 members show up on a regular basis. Got your core group that's always there, and we'll have a couple show up here and there that come every other or every so often when they get away. And then we do have guests, people who want to look at the club, check us out, get a feel for us, see if you think this is something you'd like to do or something you'd like to try. And we always welcome potential club members to come to the range, come enjoy a shoot once, see what it's like, and see if it's something you want to get involved in, and then we go from there.
Now, you talked a little bit, Mike, about the club shoots.
Sure. The range is 15 miles south of Aberdeen on Highway 281. It's in a tree claim right there. We shoot out over the slough, which is a very large slough that runs between Warner and Northville, about 15 to 20 miles. So there is no permanent backstop, which is an issue. We tell our club members, you're more than welcome to come down and use the range at any time. It's a black powder range. You can shoot handguns if you'd like, but we really discourage the use of high-powered rifles and discourage the use of shotguns.
Mm-hmm.
High-powered rifles, obviously, because we don't have a backstop. The slough is a public hunting area, and we don't want somebody down there to be caught off guard.
Oh, sure.
Shotguns, mostly because shotguns just tend to destroy our targets. Keep it clean, clean up after yourself, you know, enjoy it at your leisure. We do shoots the third Sunday of every month. We start about 1 o'clock. That's the first club shoot. Generally, we'll do a club shoot, which is a $3 shoot. Half the money goes out to first, second, and third. The other half goes to the club. And then we'll do a dollar shoot, which sometimes we change the rules. Sometimes it's a dollar and it's all paid out. Sometimes it's a dollar and only the winner gets a buck back and all the money remaining goes to the club. Just kind of depends on what everybody's mood is on that Sunday and what we're going to do for the dollar shoot. We'll do free shoots. We'll just decide we're going to do some random shooting just for bragging rights kind of deal. A lot of folks will bring their bow down and shoot bow. We've always got archery targets up, especially when the weather's nice. They'll bring their tomahawks out. You can make a full day of it if you really would like.
Well, sounds like a lot of fun. How can listeners who'd be interested in participating in the Muzzleloaders group by joining you in your shoots or meetings or even a rendezvous, how can they get more information about the group?
The best thing to do is to actually come to a meeting or a shoot, see it firsthand, get a chance to shoot somebody's gun. We're always willing to let you shoot one of ours. Get a good feel, you know, understand what it is and if you don't have to write a check or nothing.
Great.
Otherwise, they can certainly check out the website. There's a ton of information on the website. Whether it be you want to do a club shoot kind of membership or whether you want to get involved in rendezvousing at a larger scale, you can find it all there. Otherwise, the club officers are listed on the website. All of us have our phone number and some of us have an email address on there where they can contact us as well.
Okay, and Mike, what's that website again?
DakotaTerritoryMuzzleloaders.com, but Dakota spelled the old way, DACOTAH.
Thank you, Mike, so much for joining us today on A Local Record. A great time to be able to reenact history and then have fun in the present today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Our guest today on The Local Record has been Mike Thielen, past secretary and current webmaster for the Dakota Territory Muzzleloaders Group, serving Aberdeen and Redfield outdoors enthusiasts. Mike recommended that those interested in participating in the group, whether by joining joining in their activities or just getting more information, you can always check your local newspaper for meeting schedules, or you can access their website, which has a huge amount of information on it, DakotaTerritoryMuzzleLoaders.com. This again is Jenny Goodell, bringing historical reenactment and preservation to you through KKAA Aberdeen.
This has been The Local Record, a look at issues facing the Aberdeen area. Opinions expressed on the program are not necessarily those of Family Radio, its staff, or management.